Hello, everyone. Welcome to AWAI's teleconference series and to the Wealthy Web Writer special event. On the call with us today is Rebecca Matter, as everyone knows, and she's over there in Austin, Texas. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm going to bypass your introduction because I hope everyone knows you by now. And if not, you're all definitely going to know lots more about Rebecca as we go through the Wealthy Web Writer series with you guys. And joining Rebecca on the call is Mindy Tyson-McCorse. Hello, Mindy.
Hello.
And you're over there in snowy Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes, our winter wonderland a couple of weeks late.
And our callers are coming in from all over the U.S. and Canada, and a couple of international folks will be joining us as well. Before we get started on this call, I just wanted to tell folks that this is one in a series of special events that the Wealthy Web Writer will be doing occasionally. And today's call is focused on the Wealthy Web Writer's reality blog. Yes, you say. Did she say reality blog? I did. And that's Mindy Tyson, of course, is the woman who's going to be writing this blog and leading us forward, and that's the focus of our call today. And before we get started, I'll say a few brief words about Mindy. She indeed was published as a travel writer, and her first gig came when she was backpacking around Australia, of all places. And she told Rebecca in a wonderful email exchange they had that she'd always wanted to be a writer, but she couldn't see any money in it until she really learned about copywriting. But even as a kid, she had a history of writing letters. She would write letters to her parents to persuade them to do certain things. And as a matter of fact, she tells me that her first paid copywriting gig was when she was 7 years old, and her older brother got punished with the task of writing an apology letter to her parents for something he'd done. So she gave her $1 if she wrote the letter for him, and it worked. I love that story.
Excellent.
Mindy has worked in program management at colleges and universities before she really discovered her knack to make money and be successful in copywriting. And her goal this year is to make six figures as a web copywriter. And she's going to document her process on the Wealthy Web Writer reality blog. So with that, Mindy, we are all anxious to hear who, what, how, why, and when. Take it away, Rebecca.
Thank you, Denise. Well, what a great story, Mindy. I mean, you really were born to be a copywriter. I love the fact that your brother paid you for your first assignment. But why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit more about your background?
Well, I guess I can add to that. Well, I should probably say when I ended up getting in trouble for writing his apology letter.
Oh, no!
And then we both had to write apology letters, but, it was a good learning experience. But I've basically been one of those people. I came into copywriting from the angle where I loved writing. I just loved working with words. I'd never really necessarily done anything in marketing or in the sales field. But I had always seen writing as kind of a hobby. It's something I did for fun because, like Denise said, I had never really seen any money in it. I thought that it would be the fun thing I did on the side, you know, of my regular day job. But then a couple years ago, I think it was about mid-2006, I was in a job at a university that I didn't really enjoy. And about that time, I received, I think it was a book-a-log from AWAI on copywriting. And I had never heard of copywriting before, but the book-a-log, it was impressive. It worked because it was thick enough that I thought, there's something I guess I should read since somebody sent me so much. So it sat on my nightstand for a couple weeks, and I eventually got to it. And as I flipped through page after page of copywriting success story, I started thinking, there might be something to this. And from there, I started researching the people who were talked about in that mailer. Krista Jones was one of them, and when I found her online, that was when she had first launched the Copy Protege. And I realized that, oh my gosh, she's a real person. You know, she really was a $10,000 challenge winner, and that's not just hype that was made up. This is real, and she's out there sharing her story. And so it gave me enough, I guess that was enough proof that I needed that this was something that I could pursue. So I think at that point I started receiving regular mailings from AWAI, and I got the famous letter that Paul Hollingshead wrote about retire this year and make more money than most doctors do. And I remember showing that to my husband to first tell him what copywriting was, and he agreed that, hey, you know, this could be great. Let's try it. And so I didn't like my job at the time, and I had been looking for other jobs, but I hadn't had any leads, so I just up and quit my job and took out as a copywriter. Yeah. So I'm kind of one of those people who tends to just jump off the cliff instead of laying out a bridge, but, you know, it's working.
So this was 2006, and so did you buy the program before?
Well, so I bought the program in early 2007, and then I had, I do remember feeling so inspired by it because I've never been a morning person, and at the time, because I was still working my regular 9-to-5 job, I would get up early at 5 in the morning to work through the program a little bit every day. And that's something I've never done for anything, but copywriting excited me that much. But I think I wasn't even halfway through the program when I decided to quit my job. And that way I could go through the six-figure course full-time and kind of figure it out. Well, at the time I thought I'd figure it out a lot more quickly if I didn't have my regular job. I don't feel like I did it very quickly at all, but...
About how long until you got your first client then? From the time that you... quit your job, or let's say from the time that you actually finished the program, about how long till you got your first paying client?
I want to say maybe 2 months, because
okay.
I finished the program in sometime in early fall of 2007, and then I went to boot camp my first, that was my first year at boot camp, and I landed a boot camp spec shortly after that.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that kind of started everything off and going, and since then you stayed with copywriting, obviously, and that kind of takes us to today. And so let's go into kind of just in general where you are right now and everything. Give me a typical day of you working as a copywriter.
Okay. Well, that's one of the fun things about being a freelance copywriter is that I don't really feel like I have any typical work days, and part of that is just because of my personal situation. My husband's work schedule changes every day, and because we have a baby, we alternate. When one of us is working, the other one takes care of the kiddo. And so depending on what my husband's work schedule is, I'll try to fill in a couple hours here and there of writing time. And it keeps us on our toes because it does change so constantly, but I have found that if I can work for two-hour blocks at a time, I tend to be more productive than coming in for 30 minutes here and 4 hours there, just because I think that's about my maximum time for focusing and sitting down in front of a computer, and it also gives me enough time to really take in the information I need and turn it into copy for whatever project I'm working on. I'm working on getting down a system where I plan out my day and then work on specific projects and then follow through with self-marketing, but that's a work in progress. So that's something I'll be talking about in the reality blog.
But I think that brings up an excellent point, is that not everybody is the same, and so everybody's attention, their limit for attention is different. You know, you're saying that you have like kind of that 2 hours is kind of your maximum capacity for focus. And
yes,
I've
absolutely.
Read other people saying like 50 minutes. I've read other people saying that they can focus for 4 hours at a time. So really it's up to each individual person to kind of figure out what that time is.
Yeah, and, you know, for me that was a learning curve because having come from several years in a regular Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job, I thought that basically having a job meant I needed to spend 8 hours a day focusing, you know, in 8 consecutive hours. And I cannot do that when it comes to sitting here in my office and just focusing. I have to break it up. So it took a while for me to realize that it's okay to break it up here and there and basically have chunky work hours, but it's working.
I like that. It's almost like a therapy. It's okay.
Yeah,
you don't have
exactly.
to have your butt in the chair for 8 hours. It's okay. You can get up.
Exactly. Well, because doing that and then thinking, but this is a real job, that one took me a little while, but it is, you know.
I think that's so important, though, for you to keep sharing that kind of information, because I'm sure a lot of people have the exact same, especially coming from the corporate world, they have the same expectations of what copywriting is going to be like. And when they say that they're changing their career, they expect it to be a career which might, you know, in their mind be 8 hours a day. So I think that's good. So what, when you actually sit down to write and you're, you know, you're writing your assignment, what makes that process easier for you? What are some of the things that you do or some of the techniques that you use to stay focused in those 2 hours that you get the most done?
Well, I guess I have two approaches to that. One is one has to do with the actual equipment I use, you could say. And I noticed that my productivity really ramped up when I invested in one of those big, a widescreen monitor that I attached to my laptop computer, just because that way I'm able to have three different windows open at a time. And I know when I first started copywriting, I would be working on a project and then maybe researching it on the internet and answering emails all at the same time, so I'd constantly be flipping back and forth between windows. And just having the visual spread of those multiple windows all at once, so I don't have to spend all those extra seconds of click time getting back and forth, I was amazed at how just that simple act really, really ramped up my productivity. And then I also like to use a headset. I can't listen to music while I'm writing because it distracts me, but I find if I just put a headset on and it kind of blocks out all the peripheral noise. I've actually just recently gotten a Bose headset that really blocks out all the excess air noise, and I don't hook it up to anything. I just turn it on, and that way, I don't know, it just gets me to focus better when I feel like I'm really plugged in a way. But then I've also, so that's my, I guess, practical strategy. But when it comes to actual work on a project, I've taken to, well, basically, like I said, I work in 2-hour blocks at a time, and I find that if I have all of the material that I need to read beforehand that's related to the project printed out and ready so that I can read it, fill my head with it, and then basically pump it out into copy that's related to the project, that's sort of the process I follow. So I'll just tackle one project per 2-hour block, and I kind of surround myself with everything about that project. So if I'm working on, say, just the other day I was working on some marketing materials for an independent a nutritionist who's launching herself on the internet. So I had I surrounded myself with her story. I had her website up on one of my computer screens, and I had all of her existing marketing materials spread out around my desk, and I got rid of all the other books and other projects that I was working on because I felt like they distract me from focusing on the one person that I'm really trying to target. And then I kind of digested everything that I've been reading about her, and then I took it right back out into some copy. So that's the strategy for now.
I love it. It's funny talking to you because we have a lot of the similar issues as far as the distraction thing. I can't listen to music either. Unless it's just classical with no words, nothing like
with
that.
No
even
words,
language,
that's exactly.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm constantly singing. Exactly. And the setup that you described, like learning your own productivity style. I have the exact same thing. I went to the two monitors so that I could do a split screen.
I don't know,
do you use a computer camera or do you use a camera for your video blog?
A camera, a little handheld camera.
It would be excellent if for one of your blog posts that you would just kind of film your setup so that people who are on the call right now, they might not understand what the second screen would look like and how that, if you could kind of open up the documents on the three kind of areas that you can see and then show that would be very useful, I think, for people who would be interested in trying the same process.
That's a great idea. You know, I've
thought
about
that. You're going to have to clean your office until you realize.
that's why I'm laughing.
This is part of the reality blog, though. This is getting into your life, into your reality world. So, I mean, if your desk is messy, I mean, I'm looking at a messy desk of my own right now. That's part of it. You agreed to expose everything.
That's true. I knew it was coming, but I thought, you know, I thought surely I'd be more organized by this point. But like you said, if I'm going to share the truth, then you guys might as well see what's really going on here, because it's not
exactly. And then you also brought up two other excellent points for just for productivity in general. Since you do work in two-hour blocks, planning ahead is important so that you're not spending the first hour getting organized in what you're going to do in that block, maybe ending one block with what you're going to do in the next block, getting organized, like you said, pulling out your materials, and then surrounding yourself only on the project that you're working on so that you're not thinking about another project while you're working on writing copy for this project.
And I'm finding also that just cutting off my email connection is really important if I really want to focus on writing well, because otherwise, you know, things come in, you think, well, I should just respond to that, I'll get it out of the way, but it takes focus away from the project in front of me.
Or do you ever find if you have kind of a writer's block too, where you hit a point and you just kind of get stuck? You're like, oh, I'll just go check my email really quick.
Yeah.
And you almost
distract
yourself intentionally.
I had a whole. It was my distraction system when I would get to a point where either I had writer's block or I was just tired of the project. So I'd go in and I'd check my work email, then I'd check my personal email, then I'd go into Facebook and I'd kind of make my rounds and all these other electronic distractions. And then I'd think, okay, there's nothing else to do. I have to write again. but in a way, well, I think on one hand it's important to step back and take a break. For me, I had convinced myself that, okay, you know, I'm just going to make the most of this time when I'm not writing by looking at all these other things where I may need to be doing something or writing something or responding. And that wasn't true at all. They were just distractions that I wasn't really using effectively. So it's hard not to pull those up, especially since they're right there at the click of a button. But, you know, every day I get a little stronger.
These are excellent lessons. And even though I know that people say them again and again, you know, the focusing on one thing and disconnecting from email and stuff, it really does work. You really cause all these distractions for yourself, and I think that that's a good step that you're making by trying to disconnect from that. But so now what – okay, so your journey started in early 2007 was when you got through the program. You came to boot camp. Now from then to today, what do you think your most important moment was? Like when you look back to today, what's the most important moment in your journey as a freelance writer?
Well, it's been a gradual realization, but for me, I think it's the fact that I am succeeding, you know, I'm working at succeeding at this profession by following my own path. And I was thinking about this issue just the other day, and it occurred to me that before copywriting, everything I had ever achieved in my life was really because I'd followed some kind of protocol that was already laid out, like, you know, back when you're in school, you know that you have to take certain courses, get certain grades, and then you can graduate. And then when I was looking for jobs or even when I was in jobs, I knew that I had to satisfy these certain requirements, you know, check off all these boxes of things to do, and then I would either get the job or get a raise or, you know, basically advance to the next step. But with copywriting, there's really no set path. And it's been, I think it's been a very validating experience for me to learn that I just need to follow what works best for me and what works with my talents and my interests, what fits my schedule. And although I should say that I've had tons of help from others from learning what they do, what works best. It's like you were just saying, Rebecca, the fact that everybody sharing their experiences can help you learn what might work for you. But at the same time, there's no single person out there, there's no single other copywriter out there who's had a specific path that would have worked exactly perfectly for me. And so I feel like it's been a very important journey just to get to the point where I've realized that what I'm doing is individual and specific and unique to me, and that's why it works, and that I don't have to follow kind of a cookie-cutter mold to succeed at this. It's That's pretty much it.
I love that. So your experience, the realization that you make your own path, that you're setting your own kind of rules in front of yourself that fit you. And like you just said, it's like you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of this idea from another person, and you create your own recipe for
exactly.
what
Exactly, yeah, yeah. I know it would have – I probably couldn't have done it if I hadn't had other people who shared their ideas and people who I could bounce ideas back and forth from, but – at the same time, I know when I first started, I would sit down and I would think, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, what do I do now? What do I do here? And now I'm able to say, well, I, you know, this is going to work for me, and this is where I feel like I should throw my talents next. And so it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a whole independent experience.
It's almost like you want someone to say, okay, Mindy, today you need to take out your pen and you need to write about X, Y, Z. But it didn't really like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, for a while when I was really getting going with this, I thought, my gosh, I'm the only copywriter who actually wants a boss looking over her shoulder to tell her what to do. Because to me, I thought that would have made it so much easier. I wouldn't have had all this mental struggle to figure things out. But you know, now I realize that it wouldn't have been half as rewarding as it already is. And you know, I only wanted a boss to tell me what to do. I didn't want anybody to to tell me when to work and all those other things that it's
right.
To get
it's
away
almost
from.
Liberating, I guess. That realization is totally liberating. You know, you're
Exactly.
You're free.
It really has been. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that is all positive. And so we've been talking all positive so far, but what was a hard moment? Everybody has that kind of like kicky in the gut moment. What was a hard moment in your past?
Oh, my gosh, I've had so many.
Okay, just share one. We don't want to scare everybody.
Well, I think the main, the most difficult thing I've had, because it's been reoccurring, is just not giving up. And for me, this is specific to me, but it's because, like I've written, this is my third full year of copywriting, and so I know in previous jobs, you know, when I had like a salaried career, I didn't really feel like I knew what I was doing, per se, until I'd been there for a full year. And then I thought, okay, I've got the gist of this. I can handle anything that comes my way. I know what I'm doing. But with copywriting, after the first year, I sat back and I thought, I still have no idea what I'm doing or what I'm supposed to do or what I'm going to do next. And then after the second year, I was back and I thought, huh, you know, things still aren't really coming easy for me. And what's funny is that looking – when I compare maybe what I thought was difficult my second year to what I thought was difficult my first year, I'd actually come a long ways, and I didn't necessarily see that. And now I can look back at my second year and realize that, huh, you know, I really was actually on my way. But it was very much a mental game for me, just recognizing that, okay, you know, I don't necessarily know every secret there is to know within this industry, but I've got to keep going. And that's something that I now realize it's never going to happen. You know, this is a constantly evolving profession, especially with web writing. I think Heather Lloyd Martin said it best, that every single day something new comes out on the web, and you have to stay on your toes to really keep learning it. And so for me, it's been a challenge to consistently stay positive and stay focused and keep going without just giving up. But, you know, it's been a test of my own willpower, and I think it's been a healthy test.
Excellent. So if you could do it all over again then, you know, now that you can look back through your 2020 vision, what would you have done differently?
I would have reached out to other copywriters sooner. And I say that, I'm going to embarrass myself by confessing this, but when I first started copywriting, I think maybe this is a good indication that I didn't quite know what I was getting myself into, because I actually was able to join Circle of Success that first year, when Circle of Success had first come out. And I remember being on my first call with the other group members in my Circle of Success group. And there were 20 of us, maybe 30, and our group was made up of people from all over the country, or actually all around the world. We had some people calling in from Europe, one from Asia, all over the U.S. But there was another fellow calling in from Albuquerque. And I remember thinking, Albuquerque? But I'm the copywriter in Albuquerque. What is it? I can't believe, oh, my gosh. And so now I feel silly looking back on it, because obviously I was pretty naive thinking I don't even know why I thought that was a bad thing. But looking at it now, I think I would have thought, whoa, another copywriter in Albuquerque. I should call him up. We should get together. We should bounce ideas off of each other. But at the time, I guess I was competitive in some unrealistic way. But since then, and since going to my first boot camp, and I actually met this fellow from Albuquerque who was this delightful man, since then I've made some, you know, great friendships and great connections with other copywriters who are not competitive. they're not selfish when it comes to information. Everybody I've met in this industry has been so generous and so fun and so positive to work with that I just wish I had met them all and reached out to them sooner.
Awesome. This is awesome. You're giving away so many great pieces of information. I really, really appreciate this call so far. Even just, I mean, having been with AWI for 6 years now, I'm hearing this and I'm like, yeah, exactly. So it's even reassuring to me because, you know, just hearing that somebody has been through this, this is what we preach and everything all the time. And so hearing someone say this, this was their actual experience and they wish they would have reached out sooner, realizing that there isn't, you know, someone can't tell you what to do. You kind of have to come up with your own path. It's awesome. So this is great.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because I feel kind of sheepish admitting all these things.
No, this is excellent. And you have to remember, you know, you've been doing this now for a couple of years, but there are a lot of people, you know, in AWAI and on this call right now with Wealthy WebWriter who are where you were 2 years ago. And so this is very, very valuable. And it also helps the idea behind Wealthy WebWriter was exactly what you've been saying, to really help people get focused, give them the opportunity to meet people right out of the gate. You know, you joined Circle of Success, but this is another way for them within the web within the web community to get to know other people and bounce ideas and network and get that kind of camaraderie going.
Exactly, yes.
So, okay, so let's talk a little bit more about clients because everybody loves to know about clients. What are some client experiences, let's say, that you've had along the way that have surprised you or maybe taught you something?
I would have to say I was initially surprised that my clients are all so nice. I don't know why I had the idea that marketers were, you know, big and bad and mean in my head or that this was a
because
cutthroat
they are.
Industry. Exactly, I'm exposing you. but I actually remember one of my first clients was a marketer who helped small business owners put together websites, I believe, and I'd written a couple of packages for her, and then one day I went to my mailbox and I had a little box, a package waiting for me, and I opened it and it was a mug that she had sent to me and it said something like, "You brighten my day," or it had some cheerful little message, and I was totally bowled over by the fact that she had sent me a mug. And it was she had sent a thank you note with it too, I think, for helping her promote her business and stuff like that. And I think to me, one thing that really stood out was that it was a personal connection from somebody who up till then I had only known through email, and I think maybe I'd spoken to her on the phone a couple times. But it was actually bringing a little bit of a human touch into this profession. And I guess it was after I'd gone to boot camp, but it was still when I was realizing the value of connecting with people. And since then, I've found that when I'm working on a project, if something goes wrong in my personal life, you know, maybe I've had to delay something because somebody got sick or I had something come up that was unexpected, if I just reach out to the person I'm working for and explain to them and you know, state honestly, look, this is happening, or if I'm having trouble on the actual project and I say, look, I'm so sorry, but I'm having a tough part on this point, that they are actually nice about it, and they come back to me and they say, I understand, you know, you can get this to me tomorrow, or here's a tip for working through this problem, that they're not the type of, in my experience, they haven't been people who come back and say, oh, well, you know, you can't give it in to me, then forget it, you know, it's over, or you don't know what you're doing, okay, then I'm not hiring you. They've been a lot better to work with than I guess I initially thought they would be.
It's a good point though, because I have a feeling it's also in a way that you're representing yourself. Just being a marketer on this end, I have a feeling that when you email them saying that you're going to be a day late, it's not, you know, where you just don't email me for a day and then say, oh yeah, by the way, I'm late, I'm going to be even later. You know, it's coming, you know, being proactive and saying, hey, something has come up, I'm going to need to extend this due date by a day, by 2 days, but I promise I'll get it to you then, and then you don't miss that deadline. So,
right.
I think you're probably not giving yourself enough credit as to marketers can be evil, evil people. I'm just kidding. They don't have to be. But I'm sure, you know, you are representing yourself as a copywriter who's easy to work with.
I haven't looked at it that way. That's a good point.
But your human connection actually is an awesome point as well. I'm almost wondering, and we should maybe reach out to some of the other copywriters and web writers, if they've tried that when marketing themselves as well, just as you were connected to that person because she stepped outside of email and actually did something personal, that
right.
if when marketing your own services and getting to know your own clients, if that would solidify the relationship even further by putting in your own personal touch.
Huh. Wow, that gives me ideas. Ooh.
Yay! Ideas from the side. Okay, so let's talk about some of your current projects. What are you working on right now? What are the projects besides the awesome Wealthy Web Writer reality blog?
Well, let's see. I've got a couple irons in the fire. But I do, right now, the bulk of my work is coming from two clients that I actually found through AWAI's direct response jobs forum. And one of them is a big affiliate marketing company who has constant ongoing projects that they use writers for. And so I've actually been working with them for almost 2 years now. And I've learned a lot from them just because they have such a variety of projects. And then the other bulk, I guess the other large portion of my work comes from an independent marketer who helps small business entrepreneurs launch themselves in the public eye. But then I've got some other e-letter projects going, and then I've got one local business project that I just picked up. It's kind of, I feel like I've got a lot of little things that are just beginning to surface just in the last 2 weeks, and it's neat because I don't think I've ever had this many projects going at once, and it's also a great learning experience because I'm having to figure out how to balance this many projects going at once. But I'm enjoying it so far.
Excellent. And so even though now you have a steady stream of clients, you know, do you ever still doubt yourself as far as being, you know, that you can be successful and, you know, are you still going through any rough patches?
Oh, gosh, yes. Today, in fact, I had a good one. Well, I should say, backing up to my earlier comments about how marketers have really been great to work with, and a lot of that is because they've given me great feedback and tips on how to improve my copy. And I realize that when I improve my copy, it makes their end product better, but I still really appreciate the feedback, especially when it comes constructively. And so far it has for the most part. But just this morning I heard back from somebody I've been writing for. I've written a couple of projects for this person, and I've gotten great feedback in return saying, this is great, you know, I'm going to use this, this is fabulous, but I wrote something else and sent it in a couple of days ago and heard back saying, you know, clearly I know a lot more about this issue than you do, so I'm not actually going to be able to use anything you just sent me. And the person wrote it in a very nice way, but it made me think, huh, you know, well, that one just pretty much flopped. And it makes me take a step back and think, okay, you know, did I get too confident? Did I not spend enough time on this? Did I just really not know what I was writing about? And you know, it could be any of those things. But
it could also be the marketer didn't communicate properly. I mean, that's, you know,
yeah.
what they
I like that idea. So it's okay, though. We've since corresponded, and I've cleaned up a few things, and I'm going to be resubmitting the project. But, you know, it's not like I've come this far, and I'm breaking through with excellent copy every single time. I still have
you
a
You still get
curve.
Knocked off your block every now and again.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Well, that's good. I think that information that was good to share. It's not just all roses. You know, sometimes you get a couple thorns, and that's okay. You just kind of have to keep going.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So your goal this year, then, is to make six figures. Why? Why is it so, like, why that goal this year? Why that goal and why this year?
Well, for one thing, like I talked about in my very first blog, I've actually met quite a few copywriters who were able to really sail out of the gate in their third year and hit the six-figure mark, and it was because of a variety of reasons. Maybe by that time they'd had enough experience or they'd had enough instruction under their belt that they were just really ready to launch themselves. So I feel like I am at that point. But I also feel like I could easily toil along like I've been doing for the last couple of years forever. You know, I can pick up a project here, do a little bit there, be really happy when a check comes in, even if it's not that much, but just because, you know, it's a check, it's money, and I brought it in, and it feels great. but if I actually make the goal and, you know, in this case, make it public and commit to it, then I feel confident for, you know, for my own work style that that's what's really going to prompt me to take action and follow through on this, as opposed to just kind of dabbling.
Well, that's good. Then.
I think, Mindy, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Oh,
I think
sorry.
It was your chin.
Oh, no! I'm sorry if I accidentally muted myself.
No, that's okay. So we got. I think we got it. I love. You basically set, just to recap, you set the goal for six figures for this year because you know copywriters who have done it in their third year, that was the year that they broke through to six figures. And I think that's an excellent, excellent thing to follow. So then at this point, you know, you were at the end of January. Monday is February 1st, if you can believe it. What
mm-hmm.
do you see is your biggest challenge this year when hitting this goal?
Right now, follow-through is definitely my biggest challenge. I feel like I've nailed other things that challenge me along the way, like self-confidence or, like, just you know, being able to schedule in enough time to follow through on projects. But actual follow-through on goals and plans and all the things that I've laid out in front of myself to do, that's my weak point. I tend to get a lot of great ideas and I get really excited about stuff, and then I think, huh, okay, now how do I do it? And so in this case, one thing I love about being part of the reality blog is that I feel compelled to follow through on these goals because I got a lot of people working right there along with me following through on their goals and who are well aware. You know, there's nothing like professional embarrassment to motivate you.
So is that kind of the reason why you agreed to do the reality blog this year? Like what's the reason that you're going to put yourself out there? Is it to keep yourself motivated?
Well, that's a bonus, but I honestly feel that, I want to put myself out there because of what I feel is the value of community within the copywriting and the web writing world. Because like I said, once I finally reached out to people when I first began copywriting, that's when I started seeing my copy improve. That's when things started happening to me, and that's when I really started enjoying this more because I didn't feel so alone. So I feel like putting myself out there, I hope, is going to help others realize that they're not alone, that they can achieve things quicker, maybe improve their writing a little bit faster than if they were to just do it on their own. Because although it's great that we get to work independently in our own homes as freelancers without a lot of the usual things that go along with a job, it's also the only downside is that we lose that connection, that human personal connection to a community. And that it's what I've realized after a couple of years of working from home. That's what I crave. And so if there's anything that I found that really entices people to reach out to me, it's when I tell them, look, I'm not all that great. I haven't mastered everything. I'm a lot like you. And then I've noticed that's when people open up and they say, oh, you know, me too. And then you have that instant connection and you can support each other along the way. So, you know, I'm hoping to connect with a lot of other people, and I hope in return they connect and feel the kind of encouragement that I felt as I've gone along this journey.
So you're kind of paying it forward.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good – see, you summarize everything so great.
So then we're actually going to open up for some questions, actually, in just a couple of minutes. But I just wanted to say, you know, before we do that, is there any advice that you would give to other web writers who are out there who are just beginning, who are just getting started? Maybe they just found the Wealthy Web Writer or they just, you know, bought Nick's Copywriting 2.0, but they're really just now getting started. What advice would you give to them?
Well, I guess I feel like I can't say it enough. Just connect and put yourself out there and reach out. You know, reach out to me, write to me, or to any one of the people on the Wealthy Web Writer Forum, because I think once you start making those links, it's almost like you build a net that is going to catch you when you run into those rough times. And if you have nobody to link to or to connect to, then when you hit rough times, you know, you might fall a little bit further or you might give up sooner. And so don't be like I was when I first started, and I thought that copywriting was such an individual, independent kind of thing. Instead, reach out, and I hope that, like me, you'll be amazed at how much more enjoyable this entire profession becomes just because of that, just because of human connection.
That's excellent advice. And so, Mindy, I just want to, you know, we're going to open up for questions and answers, but I wanted to thank you personally for both doing the reality blog. I really have been looking for someone, like, you know, to put themselves out there for a while, and I am really looking forward to what this year brings, and I hope that you do hit your goals this year, because I think it'll be a very fun celebration at the end of the year.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Everybody can come to Albuquerque and celebrate with me.
Yay.
You're all invited.
And so, Denise, do you want to go ahead and take it over and open the call up for questions?
Sure, Rebecca. Alisa, if you're there.
I am.
Thank you, my dear. Would you please explain to the listeners how they can go about asking a question?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the number one key. I will then ask you your name. If you hear your name repeated into the conference, you may go ahead and ask your question. So I'm sorry, that's star one. Ladies and gentlemen,
star
if you have
one.
A question, please press star one.
And while the cues are lining up, Mindy, you're going to be with us in March, I see.
Yes, I'm very
good.
Excited about that.
Good, excellent. I think that'll be part of the stepping stones to your goal, so I'm excited too.
You'll have to actually cover the web Denise, you're referring to the web intensive, correct?
Yes.
In Vegas. So, Mindy, you'll have to do some reality blog coverage from there.
That'll be
event.
Great. We'll have some live shoots.
Exactly. We're going to have a video camera there, so we'll do some video feeds as well.
There are no questions at this time.
No questions this time. Okay. Well, I think that people are just interested in finding out what you're going to be up to, so I guess they're going to have to tune into the blog and figure that out.
We do now have one question. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there you go.
I guess they changed their mind. I'm sorry, ladies. Go ahead.
We'll go ahead and close out the call then for today. I have a feeling a lot of people, you know, they wanted to hear about you and who you are. And we've been getting a lot of questions on the Wealthy WebWriter website. I saw a lot underneath Mindy's individual blog post. So definitely continue to post there. And Mindy, you'll keep answering those throughout the year, correct?
Yes, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who's already shared their comments and their own goals or their experiences, because it really motivates me just knowing that other people are out there, just like I said, you know, working for the same goals and the same kind of experience that I am.
Building that net that you talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I want to thank everybody for dialing in this afternoon, and thank you, of course, Mindy and Rebecca. And everyone, just keep writing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good luck, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.